Well, welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Jack's Lantern, The Light to a Better Life. I'm Donna Smith, and I'm here with Leon Mauser, and the two of us will be taking you on a journey through Dr. Jack's writings. Now, we are both longtime residents of Central Florida, and Leon is a close friend of Dr. Jack Gresham, who is a veteran, a doctor, a husband, and a father, and has spent decades studying the Bible and sharing that knowledge with others. Now, it was obviously a calling from God that caused him to create his immense work. And through these podcasts of Dr. Jack's Lantern, The Light to a Better Life, we will be sharing his work with you. Now, as we've explained in our previous podcast, the Bible is a unique combination of history and messaging for all of us to live by. So each week, we hope to share this history and its messages in a way which makes the Bible a working part of each of our daily lives. We also want to remind everyone that you can find complete information about past and upcoming podcasts, our local involvement, and general information on our website at drjackslantern.com. Now, our ambitious program is to have young adults get together and discuss these topics that are important to them and find the many answers that are in the Bible. Dr. Jack's work and the technology that we have of private meetings and breakout rooms can help guide them with that. Now, we feel this is necessary to contribute to making our society a better place. Therefore, we are very happy to have this opportunity of bringing to you Dr. Jack's Lantern for all to hear and read. So let's bow our heads and ask for our Lord's guidance before we begin. Leon?
Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for loving us the way you do and allowing us to get together and learn how we can love you more. We're here and we're together and we want to be able to make that work for us in our lives so we can be with you and align ourselves with you. In Christ's name, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Wow. Last week, we started a discussion of self-acceptance and pointed out that self-esteem and self-acceptance are related but distinct concepts, and they play important roles in our health and well-being. We covered self-esteem, so let's take a look at self-acceptance.
Okay.
Now, while self-esteem is about evaluating oneself positively, and it can be quite variable depending on life's ups and downs, but self-acceptance is about embracing all parts of oneself without judgment. Cultivating self-acceptance through your belief system can lead to a more stable sense of peace and happiness with yourself, regardless of any external successes or social validations. You know, we all need to realize that our validation comes from God. He is the one that validates us. You know, Jeremiah 31:3, it's quoted, "The Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness." Wow. This underscores the idea that God's love for us is steadfast, and it's not based on our achievements or failures. Self-acceptance, it's the ability to see oneself as a whole person without virtues or flaws. It involves valuing the self regardless of accomplishments or failure. It's the ability to effectively learn from mistakes rather than allowing them to internally disrupt our psychological well-being.
You know, Leon, the Bible has so many verses that reminds us that we should only be concerned by what God thinks. Our validation is from Him, like you had mentioned earlier. And most of us have lived with others' expectations guiding us. And again, God tells us in His letter, the Bible, to us, that He is a merciful God, giving us His grace. In the second chapter of Ephesians, we have these several statements that He put in there. And it says, "You were dead in your transgressions and sin in which you once lived, following the age of this world. All of us once lived among them in the desires of our flesh, following the wishes of the flesh and the impulses. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of the great love he had for us, brought us to life with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. So even in the Bible, it shows us how we, you know, all of us throughout all the ages, we sit there basically, you know, in sin with our transgressions and letting people affect the way we live without aligning, like we said in our previous podcast, aligning ourselves with God. And, you know, there it in the Bible, it says we are brought to grace by God. He saved us through that.
And, you know, Donna, in all of our transgressions, all of our sins, and, you know, we like to turn our head away from that kind of thing. But if you ask for forgiveness, you know, God is delightful in his mercy. And that's something that you need to realize, because he loves you so much, he is happy to forgive you. So the verse that Donna said, it powerfully shows that God's acceptance, it's not based on human merit. He loved and accepted us even in our flawed state.
Yes.
You know, the ability to accept yourself, it's essentially permitting yourself to be human. None of us are great at all things, and none of us are terrible of all things either. Accepting what is and not rating or self-punishing is a piece of emotional resilience that will improve your well-being. Your emotional resilience will prevent you from being offended, as many youths experience. Our youth, in fact, and many adults need intervention in this area of emotional resilience more than most. With social media and society generating comparison and ratings for everything in their lives, it's no wonder that the ratings of anxiety in children and teens are soaring. Parents and teachers, they have an important role in guiding youth toward a growth mindset and how to learn from their mistakes and not allow those mistakes to dominate their mindset.
You know, Leon, you referred to the anxiety and how it's so high in kids and adults now. And there's a lot of reasons for all of that. You and I both know we take God out of the schools and there it is. But did you know what one of the leading causes of death in the United States is?
No, I don't. Would you please tell me?
It's suicide.
Oh, no.
Suicide. Yes. And between 2000 and 2018, okay, and that's, you know, before the pandemic and stuff, the suicide rate among youth, and that's youth, between the ages of 10 and 24, rose from 6.8 to over 10%.
Wow.
And that number has actually climbed. It's worse now since after the pandemic than it was then. And that was outrageous when we saw that number. And again, we're not placing our faith and validation in God by leaving him out of the picture and just relying on others, social media. It's no wonder that self-acceptance is not valued by today's society. They don't want you to have that self-acceptance, realizing it does come from God. It's really a shame.
And, you know, when we align ourselves with God, like we were talking all through our podcast, is looking down the road, it might not seem different right now. But if you align yourself with God, you know you have the foundation of a happy life. You know, if you're looking behind you and you're living in your past, that's not good. Your car, let's take an example, has a large windshield and a small rearview mirror. That's because what's in your future is a lot larger than what's in your past. So learn from your past, but don't live in it. God's got a plan for you.
That's an excellent analogy. It really is. And since, you know, teens will be driving, if they're not already driving, maybe that could be a source of reminder of them that, you know, first of all, while driving, obviously it's more important to look in front of you because that's where a lot of things can happen. But But if they could just think about that and go, yes, I need to concentrate on what my future is as opposed to the past mistakes. And remember, when you're aligned with God, He's forgiven you. So you forgive yourself, you move on.
That's right. And it's such a wonderful feeling knowing that you get that forgiveness from the God that He created us. And He loves us so much. He's so willing to forgive us. And, you know, adults who model self-acceptance are an excellent start to building children's emotional resilience. Now, here's a few examples of ways to increase self-acceptance. Let's see. Start with self-compassion. Kirsten Nipp's 2003 research proposes that self-compassion is a healthy form of self-acceptance. When you speak to yourself, imagine you're talking to your best friend. What do you say to yourself matters. Self-flagellation is extremely harmful to your psychological well-being.
That's true.
Now, you know, Donna, I remember what that happened to me. I was a racquetball player in my days, and when I would miss a kill shot, I would yell at myself. I would say things to myself that weren't really things that you would want to hear. And a kill shot is something that is unreturnable in racquetball. What it does is it hits the floor and the wall, the front wall, at the same time. So the ball just rolls back out, cannot be returned. And that's what I've been trying to do. Now, I was a C player. I'd hook up with a B player because I wanted to get better. Isn't that what we do? We want to get better. You play someone that's better than you, right?
Right.
So I was yelling at myself once, and this guy was playing. I missed the shot, and I yelled. And he said to me, he said, you keep yelling at yourself. You're never going to get any better. And I just stopped, and I said, you know, that's so true. But when you're in the heat of the battle, you say things that, you know, may be that way. It may be something that's defeating yourself. But once I turned around, Anna, I stopped saying those things to myself, and I was making a lot more kill shots. And that is the truth. So, you know, a good place to start practicing self-compassion is with forgiveness.
You are so right. It reminds me of what we were even talking about last week with self-esteem, with the affirmations and things. Again, you're hitting your subconscious. So when you're actually talking to yourself and beating yourself up, that's defeating. It goes into your subconscious too. So that's very true. Yeah.
You know, sometimes we can't help but just, you know, screaming out. I mean, you get your finger caught in a door and you're not going to say, gee, that's tough. But, you know, we try, right?
Right.
So anyway, forgive yourself. That's the most important thing. God forgives you. And so I know a lot of people have a real hard time in forgiving themselves. But, you know, a good place to start practicing self-compassion is with forgiveness. Write yourself a letter. Forgive your mistakes you've made, and forgive anything you've done. Mail it to yourself. You continue to punish yourself, which is really against what God wants you to do. You know, the main theme in the Bible is compassion exemplified with God's interactions with humanity and taught us a crucial virtue. I've found, you know, with younger folks, they know how to forgive others, but they have a difficult time forgiving themselves. Well, isn't it a marvelous thought knowing that God delights in His mercy?
Yes.
There are many more ways we could look at self-compassion that are found in the Bible. Can you find a few?
You know, for finding a few, and I think we're going to continue with that, but let's let our audience know that our website is available to actually respond to a lot of our comments, ask questions, And we would love to hear if they have found different quotes in the Bible that have helped them or that apply to our podcast. So keep remembering that drjackslantern.com, there is a place for putting information and comments to us.
And so you know, the best way, The best way to do it is to get a group of people together and get on the conferencing and find out who knows what. How can you get some answers out of the Bible? Hey, I'll give you one. I'll give you one to start with. Here's Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Wow, this verse encourages believers to embody compassion as part of their new nature in Christ, along with all the other virtues that God has given to them.
In that verse, I'd like to point out to people that he's, you know, God says we are to clothe ourselves. That doesn't imply that we're just supposed to be doing this for others, you know, compassion, kindness, humility. It's also for ourselves. So clothing ourselves also embodies even ourselves to not just portray it to others, but to portray it to our own selves too. And I actually have another verse. This one's from the Old Testament. It's Psalms 148. And it says, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. And this psalm praises God's compassionate nature towards all of his creation and highlighting it as a divine attribute.
And why wouldn't he do that? He was the creator of us and everything. And he, did it cost him anything to create us? Not a thing. But what did it cost to save us? It cost him everything. Learn from your mistakes. Failure is part of success. Adopting a growth mindset when facing errors and mistakes is a powerful place to learn. Understanding neuroplasticity, which is our ability to change our brains with effort over time, that can be very motivating. And we've talked about this before, that neuroplasticity is the ability for you over a period of time to change your mind.
It's interesting, Leon, because earlier you had talked about writing things down. And again, that works with our subconscious and our conscious. If you just take a few moments and write positive affirmations or, okay, I say this about myself, how can I switch it? You know, whatever, you know, different tools you can use. But that goes to that neuroplasticity, which neuro means brain, plasticity is elastic, changing, the ability to change it. That is what actually helps our body, or our minds, excuse me, change and work on that. So I like that. I like that phrase, and I like
and
the
you know,
phrase.
It's the ability for us to change, but change in the alignment with what God has for us. So the neuroplasticity should be a goal of changing into aligning more of yourself and more of your time with God. And they'll bring you happiness, because that's the only way we can find happiness and rewarding. So as you gather together with your friends to encourage each other to make small changes in your spiritual growth, you'll be amazed at the positive differences in your life. You know, the next time you make a mistake, say to yourself, what could I have done differently? You know, pay attention to the fixed mindsets that are present, as we all have them in different areas. Once you recognize a fixed mindset, then you can make the switch to thinking about learning differently.
If I even apply it to how I've looked at a lot of things, I'm not a big fan of nose rings or rings in the mouth and all that. But I've realized by following and aligning with God in the Bible, following the messaging of Dr. Jack and his light to a better life, we can start thinking differently. You think of people differently. As opposed to just, oh, I don't like that and I don't want to talk to that person or whatever. again, when you concentrate on aligning with God, it really is amazing how you can start looking at people in a completely different, and approaching people in a different way.
And you know, it's if you are meeting someone, the way I meet someone is I hold them blameless until something happens where I don't hold them blameless. But that's the way I meet people. That's a good, healthy way to meet people. And then you get to know them more. This is the whole thing about our relationship with God through Jesus. This is what it's all about. How are we going to develop that relationship with God? And we can start with step one, okay? Hey, keep a list when you notice self-judgment and self-criticism in two categories. See how these criticisms can be shifted into acceptance. When you notice the habit, write it down. You may not be able to change in real time until you've had the continued practice of doing.
Yes. You know, in the New Testament, there's another quote in 1 Peter chapter 3, and it says, "Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble." So even Peter exhorts the church, for people to live out their faith through practical expressions of compassion and humility, even with ourselves, and writing it down and switching that train of thought.
And it's not real easy to do. And it takes concentration and focus. And that's what, you know, there's an expression that I've heard, if it's easy to do, it ain't worth a dime. And so what we're going to do is we're going to go on ahead and say, look, if you want to align yourself with the Lord, give yourself that feeling of happiness, then do this and follow what Dr. Jack has in his Life to a Better Life. And we will be able to take this journey of sanctification together. And when I mean sanctification, I'm talking about God's free grace, the grace that he gives us freely, and the way that he loves us freely through that grace.
Yeah.
You know, healthy risk-taking is another way to build self-acceptance. Some people want to avoid humiliation, judgment, negative personal feedback. So they make a conscious choice to play it safe. Now, there's so many of those people nowadays that I see playing it safe is what I say is about they have their head in the sand. And they don't want to have anything to do with taking chances or risks because they're afraid of failure. But those are the folks that need to have a little bit of confidence. So if you are with them, if you have gotten some of these people in your group that have to play it safe, try to convince them. Take a little risk once in a while. You know, these are the ones that have developed a strong self-esteem from their past belief system. They find it easier and more comfortable with their hands locked in video games and a handheld, oblivious to anything around them. Those are the ones that I say have their head in the sand, but it's in their video games, and they need help. I've been trying to help some of these folks but video games, that's like a dopamine where they just get locked in, and it's crazy, Donna. You know, it's tough to have in this society where you know, people with solid self-acceptance, they see an opportunity in taking chances on unfamiliar things. What an adventure life could be when you nudge yourself in new directions. Try stretching yourself. Your known skills, stretch those to a higher level. Challenge each other in your group to Bible Jeopardy or anything that you want to do to align yourself with God in moments that you know God is with you. Learn how God wants you to enjoy loving him. Practice unconditional acceptance. You know, when interacting with others, try to see them as whole beings. When I first meet someone, I told you before, I hold them blameless. Now, Can you do the same and see others as God sees them?
And that's the question that people should be asking themselves, you know. Do you allow superficial things to distract you from knowing the heart of somebody? No.
You know, I remember back when they had a cookie-cut haircut back in the day. Boy, that went out the window. And men, they began wearing their hair very long. Now, this was unacceptable to the establishment at that time. The older folks were just really upset. Why would they wear their hair long? Why would the men want to look like females? Why would they want to wear their hair long? Well, they forgot that even though they're Christians, they were raised all their life by looking at our Savior with the hair that he had. How would they not become offended? And this was a time of social change. And those social changes, they often happen when we're trying to identify ourselves and trying to look for that happiness where God is not there. You know,
that's really back to that same Bible verse that we just read about, you know, being like-minded, be sympathetic, be compassionate, be humble.
Absolutely. Well, here's another Bible verse, 1 Peter 3:8. He says, finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. You know, Peter exhorts the church to live out their faith through practical expressions of compassion and humility. That's strengthening the bonds with your community.
You know, when you were talking about the hair, I have to just interject, and I'm going through old pictures because, you know, my parents, I had to we had to move their things, and so I have all these pictures, and they must have laughed at us. And now we look at these pictures and you go, what were we thinking? And I know that's what's going to happen in current generations too. So it really is something. Be compassionate. Just move on. You know, like you said, making mistakes is just a part of life. You know, most people just want to do their best and practice compassion and gather together. Well, something that I know we're trying to point out, that they can practice compassion by gathering on our conference video and discuss different ways to do that.
And there is a need for that also, because as we discussed in the last podcast, there is a difference between sympathy and empathy. And to practice those, they will be able to achieve a new alignment with God. You know, making mistakes is just part of life. Most people are just trying to do their best. Practice compassion and gather our conferencing video. Discuss different ways.
Yes, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 reminds us that, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. So believers are seen as new creations in Christ, which is a form of acceptance and renewal that transcends all of our personal flaws or past mistakes.
Yes, you know, Dr. Jack and Dr. Jack, he says this is between God and man. There's a relationship which is the matrix of history, the vitality of our present time, and the anticipation of the future with all its hope and expectation. In this relationship matrix are the biblical accounts of God and man together in the expanse of time from the first family to the early Christian church. Then we must not forget that we have societal interpersonal relationships that have not only earthly consequences, but also influence the transcending divine relationship, which is eternal. And we are reminded.
Yes, we are reminded. Psalms 139, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. We're going to remind everybody as we go through these podcasts that that's the quote to keep in mind as we move on. We want to thank everybody for joining us today. We look forward to talking to you again next week. And once again, drjackslantern.com. Put any of your comments, listen to the next podcast. We look forward to talking with everybody. So thank you again, Leon. We appreciate it.
Thank you. And it's a Light to a Better Life with Dr. Jack's Lantern.